All right. Are we going? We are rolling.
We're on the internet?
We're on the internet. Have you ever been on the internet before?
I'm not. This is exciting.
You're more of an analog type of fellow.
Love to kick it old school, the analogs. It's the way to go. This whole internet, I've been saying it for years, this is a fad. This is a passing fad, and it's going to go away soon.
As the web director, I hope not.
Well, we've seen things come and go.
Yeah, our web director.
Our 8-track director, gone.
So my name is Chris Spangle. I'm the web director. Yeah, I'm just padding for Josh.
Sorry, I'm going through some of the questions that were sent to us. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Nooner Valentine's Day edition.
Hi,
so
Josh.
If you have any, hi, Dean. I'm here with Dean Metcalf.
I know.
Longtime producer of the Bob and Tom Show.
Yeah, some might say too long.
not to your face.
No,
and,
no, but I can read.
We will be answering your questions about the show, maybe about love and all things romance, because it is Valentine's Day, or anything in general you might like to learn.
No comment.
You smell good.
Thank you.
Chris Spangle, our web director. What are you?
I am the web director.
Okay, yeah. We'll be asking the questions. He'll be sifting through all of them. Bailey McComas is here making sure we look good.
Any caveats, Dean, for the questions?
I need to find out what caveat is first.
I didn't mean to insult you like that.
No. I've told other people this. I don't like questions that are like ranking, like what's your favorite, what's the best, what's the most, what's the, you know what I mean? Like I don't like ranking things.
Okay.
My wife's family loves ranking things. Like, which was your favorite of these? And I'm the opposite. So I don't mind questions like, you know, some of your favorite or stuff like that. I just hate like when you see those polls.
So you don't want to quantify too much.
No, I don't want to qualify too much.
Quantify or qualify.
I don't know, Josh, maybe.
What about F, Mary, Kill, Jumbo the Elephant, the Pope, and what's one? The 13th man?
12th man.
12th man. Yeah.
I'm not much of a sports guy myself. all right, F, Mary, Kill. I'm not a particularly religious guy, but I would not kill the Pope. I wouldn't do it. Jumbo. I wouldn't kill an elephant, so I think I have to kill 12th man because, yeah, I think he would be the least missed by the world. Mary. I'd feel weird about marrying the Pope. And honestly, I don't think he would marry me. I'm not underselling myself. I'm not
right.
A self-esteem thing. I just think that I think there are a couple reasons he'd go against that. I mean, I'm not Catholic, so. But, so yeah, I'd marry an elephant if that were allowed. And that means
you would F the Pope.
Man.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Yeah. If, any of you social media types out there, please do not say that Dean said he wanted to F the Pope because that is not what I said at all. I was eliminating. This is why I don't like ranking things, Spangle. Go ahead.
So, Mike wants to know who discovered you? And how did you get hired for the show?
Mike, thanks for your question. I like the idea that I've been discovered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to say Tom. Tom discovered me.
Okay.
By me making a random phone call one morning and getting in touch with him. I've told the story a lot, so...
Sorry to bore you.
No. I always feel bad because... You guys don't know what it's like. It's like I walk around myself all the time, so I hear everything that I say constantly.
Right.
So it feels like I just told you this because I told Christy a couple months ago on her podcast. But it was kind of a weird, funny thing. A friend of mine from high school who I hadn't talked to in a long time did an internship with Bob and Tom. So this was while we were both finishing up college. So I heard that he had an internship with Bob and Tom. I thought, well, that's really cool. You know, I ought to call him and find out what that's all about. That sounds fun. But I thought, well, I'm not that a-hole that's like, you know, hey, haven't talked to you in 3 years. What's this about an internship? So I thought, okay, that's not cool. I'm not that guy. And out of the blue, he called me just like within a few weeks of that. And so he invites me up because he was going to Butler at the time and had a little radio show. So we're talking and he was done with his internship. And I said, well, you think they would want an intern? And he goes, oh, yeah, just call and tell him that, you know me and just call Tom and see if he needs an internship. So you guys know Tom. Picture this happening today on a Monday morning I dial the radio station, you know, hello, can I speak to Tom Griswold? And she goes, okay, hang on a minute. Like less than a minute later, hello, yes. Tom takes the call. I mean, literally having no idea who it is. It wasn't like, you know, tell him Joe sent me or whatever. It's just, you know, I'm calling for Tom. Okay, hang on. And so I get on, and so I'm on the phone. Oh, yeah, I'm a friend of Alex's, and he was your intern. He said you might need another intern. He goes, okay, great. Well, why don't you come on up and start Friday?
Okay.
So that was how I got discovered, Mike. That's a lot of hard work, a lot of planning, preparation. But it really was. I mean, it was, and that's why whenever anybody's talking about like career advice or whatever, it's like you have to have crazy, weird, dumb luck like that. But then there's the follow through.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the tough part.
All right. Steve Jones wants to know, how did you come up with the Godzilla bit?
I have to think about it. I mean, I basically remember, but I don't remember when or where specifically or pacifically, since we're talking Godzilla. So at some point there was some news story about Godzilla, and that was always the, you know, the joke was that you just pictured any time the name was mentioned that all these, you know, Japanese people just like in the movie are like, freaking out. So that was what happened was, I don't even remember, just called in, you know, as a Japanese tourist, kind of waiting for them to say Godzilla. But that was the gag was, you know, the very first time we did it was he didn't really hear what happened. You know, aren't you talking about something? You know, and all of a sudden they say it and he just freaks out. And it grew from there so that we would just grab whoever was in the building at that time. And young Bailey McComas over here behind the camera and Spangle. Like anybody and everybody that's ever been in here in the morning at some point or another has been dragged in to be part of a Godzilla crowd. And you know, nowadays it is. It's getting tougher and tougher and more politically incorrect to do accents or imitations and that kind of thing, especially something like that where you're making fun of such a stereotype. And, I don't defend it or justify it in any way. I understand if some people are offended by it or think it's good, bad, whatever. But in my mind, it's such a dumb, goofy joke, and it's absolutely based on these real movies from the 50s.
And there's zero malice. It's not coming from a bad place at all.
No, not at all. And, yeah, I always think about that because I always think I'd love to hang out and tour with these guys.
Right.
You know, because
you know
they're out,
the time of their
they're
life.
Having a blast, you know. I mean, they're just seeing it all and enjoying it. And, yeah, having a great time, and that's. I always feel kind of bad that I ruin these imaginary guys' day by bringing up some horrible thing that gives them nightmares.
Joseph asks, what is your favorite movie?
Joseph, you weren't listening when I said I don't like to rank movies or anything by favorites.
Well, what are a handful, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Or something that may have influenced you in some way.
No. 1 through 5.
God dang it! So when I think back about, especially as a kid, you know, younger, the movies that really influenced me as far as, like, comedy and stuff like that, there was all the Monty Python stuff, Blazing Saddles, you know, Young Frankenstein, a lot of the classics that we talk about on this show. The other day, I think I was recently telling you about Evil Roy Slade.
You weren't, but we've talked about it before.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies ever of all time.
John Astin.
Mm-hmm.
Bing. You can find it. It is out there. You can find it.
Best Christmas present I got this year. My wonderful wife somehow found an Evil Roy Slade t-shirt.
Holy cow.
Didn't even know they existed.
Wow.
Yeah. I own it. I've got it.
That's a very silly, fun movie.
Yeah. Just really goofy, bad slapstick and dumb jokes and that kind of thing. And we were talking about this recently and talking about... movies I typically don't like to watch a movie more than once. It's like I've seen it, okay, got it, and then years later might revisit it. So I'm always amazed when I hear people say they'll go to see a movie multiple times while it's out new in the theater. And the one exception to that for me was Oh Brother Where Art Thou. So when that first came out however many years ago, my wife and I were talking about this, trying to remember. I think I either saw it 4 or 5 times in the theater, which for me is really unusual, but I loved it, and I've seen it, you know, several times since then, and it still holds up for me.
And it makes sense to me, knowing you, that musically, it's kind of up your alley.
Yep.
And very eccentric characters.
Yep.
And sort of silly, like, the humor is all over the place. There's some high humor. There's some low humor.
Right.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It's got a variety of stuff in there for everybody. And the music's great. And I enjoy all that. But yeah. And also just some of these, and I think you get a kick out of this too, some of these overly optimistic, just positive characters.
Yes.
You know, when these guys are running around, they're talking about, you know, we're going to get locked up and thrown in prison, you know, for 50 years, whatever. And the one guy just kind of thinking about, because the guy says, well, I'm going to be 83 years old. I'll only be 81 or whatever. Right. You know, it's like he's just always looking on the bright side.
Yes.
And just that optimism. So, yeah, I enjoy stuff like that. Just these characters that don't really exist in real life, but you can kind of see, you know, I see a little bit of that in those guys. Yeah.
All right. Chris wants to know, Dean, how many different characters do you portray? He asked which is your favorite, but I'm not going to ask that.
Thank you, Chris. Yes. And thank you, Chris, for your question. I don't know is the answer. And really, because I, especially in the old days when I would do a lot more call-ins, it was typically these nameless, faceless characters from a news story or whatever.
Yeah.
So you'd be talking about, well, and we did one the other day where the guy, the accent story came up about the...
Right. And he had the bad accent.
Right.
Yes.
And so this, I called in as this guy with this bad accent disease. So there's, you know, those type of things. And, you know, Ron Sexton does incredible impressions and all that. And I just, I don't really do that. You know, my stuff is just more that one-off, you know, blah, 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 goofy thing that doesn't necessarily have to be a good accent or a good voice or a believable character or anything.
But for those who don't know, your regulars are Jumbo, the Pope, the Japanese tourist for the Godzilla bit, the guy whose mother, you have mother issues and
it's Bill, the guy that likes to keep a woman trapped in a pit.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that is one of those characters that it was supposed to go away. It was supposed to never come back. And honestly, I really did stop doing it for a long time because I got a couple of really legitimate upset emails. And this is in the early days of emails even.
Because again, that's an extreme character that's...
It's an extreme character, and I get it that, you know, just like nowadays, the whole thing about triggers and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. It's not a topic to be joked about. I think that's why we try to make it so over the top and fake and all that and just so weird. But again, I'm not defending it. No, if I were in a court of law, and I would be basically, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Well, I think the caller in Mr. Obvious is probably the most.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And people ask about that, like, you know, that voice. Or it's like, that's my voice. That's me talking. Because when we're doing the bit, I just pretty much called in as, you know, myself. It was just, you know, me calling, hey, Mr. Obvious, how you doing? And just having this conversation on the phone like I would. And so what would happen, especially, you know, back when we started doing that in the early 90s or whenever it was, I was doing, all, you know, the guest booking and everything for the show or calling people back about whatever. And I would be on the phone with them, you know, especially when I was returning calls with somebody calling for something. I'd be talking to them and I could hear this like distracted in their, you know, it's like, hey, this is Dean Metcalf. I'm calling for the Bob and Tom Show. Return your call about whatever. And they're like, okay, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I'm returning your call. You know what this is. But I could tell there's, like, this confusion in their voice. They go, okay, yeah, I was calling about that. And I would answer something. And also they go, oh, you're the guy that calls him Mr. And I realized that it was, like, that's what is this a joke? Or is this – or I know that voice from somewhere. And then that was how I would have to identify myself. So it's like, what's the garbage? You know, it's like, ar, 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 ar. Oh, that is you. You know, it's like, so that was my ID.
You just made everybody's day doing the ar, ar,
ar, ar, ar, ar, ar, ar, ar. Yeah, that is not a talent or a skill, Josh. It's just something that anybody could do. And yet
someone in the,
captured the imagination of the world.
Yeah. Yes, time and place.
Someone on the Bob and Tom Facebook group, which you can join.
I'm a member.
Yep. In the Facebook group, asked how you actually came up with the critter noise.
Great question, group member. What I did, okay, so it was supposed to be a garbage disposal. It was supposed to be an animal down there, and it was because it was like kind of. I don't know.
I heard Chick talk a little bit about this.
Right.
He said you just did it.
Yeah.
And he laughed so hard.
Yeah.
And then you went, okay, that's it.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that like, right. It's like if I'd overthought it, which I often do with things.
But that would have.
You know, it may have destroyed it and turned it into something else. And, and honestly, part of the inspiration for that. I mean, this obvious bit came from a lot of different things together, and Chick and our old program director, Marty Bender, would often half jokingly, but half serious argue about whose idea it was and who came up with it. And, but one of the things that as we were putting it together, that it was kind of based on was the old, NPR show, Click and Clack.
Oh yeah, sure. The car guys.
And that was half the charm. Like they'd have and they would just get these people. What's the sound it's making or whatever? You know, it's like, well, I don't know. It's kind of a bada bing, bada bing, bada bing. You know, and they'd be doing these funny noises trying to imitate cars. So there's something about that that we just thought was funny. And so, and especially just that quick switch. Well, you know, this guy's just kind of talking and thinking, well, I don't know. It's kind of a growling noise, kind of ar, 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 ar. And he's just all of a sudden like so enthusiastic and they're like kind of like that, you know, just the
it's just forth. Impossible to hear the noise and not laugh.
Yeah,
no, it's possible. Watch ar, 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 ar. Nothing. See,
Michael asks, when's the last time you got in a real fist fight?
A real one?
I've never been in a real fist fight. Never.
Me either.
Yeah. I've gotten close.
Yeah.
But it's always ended with some pushing and shoving, and then, you know, which I think is how every fist fight you hope ends or whatever. But
that was the way mine ended. It was supposed to be a fist fight, but neither of us really punched. But it was Dale Winkler across the street. Dale, if you're watching.
So that was the last one? The last sort of physical altercation?
Yeah. It was.
When was that?
I think seventh grade.
What did Dale do or accuse you of doing or what?
Well, Dale got mad because some kids were making fun of him on the bus.
Uh-oh. Were you one of them?
I was not. I was not bullying. I was just, but I was laughing.
Ah.
Because they were saying things and I was laughing. So we got off at the same bus stop because he lived across the street. So he was really mad and upset. Looking back as an adult, I feel horrible for Dale.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
And I feel horrible for stuff that I said to him at that point because they were making fun of him. And so finally, and you know, being the smart ass I am, and he's like a year older than me and stuff, and seemed like he should have known better, but he starts to, come on, let's fight. I was like, I'm not going to fight you, Dale. And finally, you know, he comes up and I was like, I go, I'm not going to fight. And he goes, oh yeah. And he like barely touches me. Like, and that push, you've been a boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you do that thing where kind of, and I go, okay, there, I pushed you back. Okay, I pushed you. And then he, you know, kind of gets me one time, you know, the really hard push. And so I push him back again. Here was my trick, Josh. You might keep this if you ever get in a bar fight or something. Pushed him back really hard and grabbed his shirt.
Oh.
And pulled him back my way at the same time. Velour shirt rips wide open.
Velour.
Yep, nice. It was like a kind of a wine red burgundy velour shirt. Nice shirt that he had just got for Christmas, uh-oh. I found out, because he started crying and he went back inside and he was going to tell his mom. And then I went in my house and my brother was living at home at the time. He was an adult and my mom, and they had seen the whole thing. And I walk inside. So Dale and his mom come marching across the street and they're upset. And my brother is just sitting there reading the newspaper the whole time as my mom's at the door going, well, now I saw what happened. And my brother's just sitting there and out of the, from behind the paper, I hear him go, boys will be boys.
That's real helpful.
Real Thank helpful. You. Thanks. Thanks, Chris. Yep.
How old were you when your fight happened, Josh?
The oldest. High school. I think it was high school. Yeah.
Did you win?
It was a similar situation to yours.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy, he was mad at me. We really, this is a really stupid story. So we're driving down the highway and everybody's arguing about something real dumb. And I forget what it was, but they were all arguing and I was annoyed and I just wanted them to shut up. So for some reason, I thought I would just distract everyone by grabbing the wheel. I was in the passenger seat. And jerking it.
Oh.
And I was like, well, this will change the subject.
That's good, though. You shake things just like this is good.
Yes. I don't. And there may have been some booze involved on the passengers on, you know. And so the driver is like, what are you doing? Are you insane? And he pulls over to the side of the highway and gets out, and he comes over, and he's like, get out, we're fighting. And I was like, Chris, I'm not going to fight you, man. He was like, get out.
He was schedule it. Listen, get out, because yeah. we're going to fight.
And I go, no, we're not doing this. And so he starts pushing me, and he starts pushing harder and harder. And then finally I grabbed him, because here's the deal. I'm not – I won't fight. I mean, if you – when I'm ready to fight, that's – things
– It's go time.
Yeah, like it takes a lot to get me to that point. But when we get there, all of a sudden I get this strength that I've never had before. And like this, and so I grabbed him and threw him down on the hood, which kind of sucked for me because he hit the antenna going down and it came up and hit me in the face. So I had to pretend like that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I just go, we're not fighting. And finally I let him go and he got back in the car. I must have looked so insane and surprised him with such a sudden burst of strength that he was like, okay, I'm not doing this. And then we just drove home and it was late at night. And I think I was sort of like technically past my curfew with my parents. And so I'm walking up to the house and he just lays on the horn to wake them up.
Nice.
That's great.
That's a good move.
Yes.
That reminds me of this wasn't exactly a fight, but this is how I got kicked off the safety patrol. So
nerd.
Yes, Dweeb.
I was a lieutenant. I was an officer. You can't just call, you know, once a safety patrol.
No, go ahead,
a safety patrol. You wanting to make me mad with the name calling? You go put on a velour shirt. I'll show you who's boss.
I wouldn't be caught dead in velour.
Well, I think I've made my point there. No, right. But I was almost adult size by like fifth, sixth grade. So sixth grade, I'm this giant walking around. I'm the lieutenant, and the captain is my best friend, who was the smallest guy in our class. So I'm sure we looked hilarious walking around. Years later, my brother was telling me, he goes, it was like a cartoon watching you guys walk. You know,
that's so great.
Hey, Jamie, what are you going to do now? You know? Yeah. So I was like this size, I'm safety patrol. And it's a safety patrol. I think you all know you can't touch anybody.
Sure.
You know, hands off. And this is even in the 70s, back when things were a little looser. But these twins, Darren and David, anyway, they would keep running. They're not allowed to run. And I kept telling them, you can't run. You know, and I'm a big guy. I can't catch him or anything. But I told him not to run. Well, one day he got close enough to me. He's trying to take off running. And I grabbed him. And it was suddenly just like out of Mice and Men. I'm like, you know, and I pick him up off the ground. You can't run. Stop running, bro. And he's just like, terrified. So, you know, he does the smart thing. He goes home and tells his mom, who then goes to the teacher who was in charge of safety patrol. And I had him for class. He was a really great guy. And, you know, we were good friends and everything. But he just, like, he kind of takes us. Yeah, listen, you can't do, you're going to have to quit or something. He goes, I don't want to fire you or anything, but if you could just quit, that'd be great. Yeah, so I just turned in my badge.
Oh, yep.
Oh, I know. I see those movies where the captain brings me, look, Bronson, you can't.
You know. You can relate.
Absolutely. I've been there, man. Yeah. I've been there.
Whoever's next, you can be like, I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, a little too close to home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is kind of a funny question. Teddy asks, we know this is your dream job, but what would you have done differently if you hadn't worked here?
Teddy, I'd have starved to death. Teddy, I don't have any other skills. Marketable things that I could do, Teddy. Teddy, I'll put it this way. I was thinking about that it is a dream job, but I don't think I would have I don't think I had the imagination to dream it up. You know what I mean? It's like you kind of fantasize about, it'd be great if I could be, you know, whatever, rock star, you know. But I was going to school thinking I was going to be like a behind-the-scenes TV guy. Like, not even in the creative side or anything, just like literally I'm going to run a camera or Bailey. I don't mean like just run a camera like it's a bad thing or anything. I just mean that, yeah.
Bailey runs the cameras.
Yeah, sorry, Bailey. Anyway, that's no, but I did. I just thought I was going to be working behind the scenes in TV or whatever. So even with my wildest imagination, I didn't even know this was a job. Like, this was a thing that could happen. So, yeah, I don't know what I would do. I assume, because I was a telecommunications major, so I probably would be, Teddy, I probably would be in the industry or the business, I would think.
Yeah, doing something.
I would probably be doing something in the business or the industry, doing a thing.
Maybe for a company or a...
It would probably be a company, maybe a corporation.
Could be.
Or a business.
Conglomerate.
Yeah, so any kind of conglomerate that would own a company in some certain industry.
Yeah, some sort of structured group that would pay people to do things for them.
Maybe some sort of association.
Could be.
A guild.
Yeah.
Yeah, there could be a guild involved with the said institution.
Yeah, maybe even a partnership.
Yeah, well, that's dreaming. I mean,
I'm just saying if, you know, depending on how things go.
Keep things a little realistic here.
Teddy, did that answer your question about my dreams, hopes, and stuff?
All right, let's see. Dan asks, and we get this question a lot. Dan asks, if I have an idea for a bit, can I send it to you?
You can, Dan. You can leave that on Josh's email.
My email is dmetcalf.
The answer is yes and no. So the short version is, if you like, we would get this with songs or a movie idea or a book idea or a whatever. If there's something that you think, man, this is a great idea, you know, or I've got this great song, you got to hear it. Really, we don't want to hear it unless it's already out and available to the public. So in the old days, that meant, you know, if you've recorded it and put it on a CD or whatever. But nowadays, it's like if you have published something to YouTube and it's out there, great, we'll take a look at something like that. If it's something that's like original material that you wrote and you go, oh, I got this great bit idea, I want to submit it to you, we really don't want to see it in that form. And the reason is it's partly to protect ourselves because – first of all, we don't even know if you stole it from somebody else.
That's one of the main problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you submit something and we don't know, and we've heard stories before because we've had people steal stuff from us where we'll find out it's like, hey, this other radio show's re-recorded this thing almost verbatim. And a couple of times when you know, I've tracked stuff down and talked to people about it, I don't know if they're lying or not, but their story is, oh man, I'm so sorry. One of our kind of side writer guys came to us with this and we thought it was his or whatever. So that's the type of thing that we have to kind of protect ourselves from. And the other part of it is that a lot of times people think, you know, man, I've got this great idea. I've got this great bit. And, it's this stupid guy and he thinks that there's a thing in his, you know, under his sink. And it turns out, so sometimes they think they're coming up with a bit and it's either something that we've already done or that we've already got in the works. And then all of a sudden when they hear, well, you stole that from, oh, no, we didn't. And so we don't want to be exposed to that kind of, you know, you stole this from me.
Yeah. One of the cool things about any basic, even laptop now is that you, I mean, I would say go, whatever it is, make it, just do it.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty easy to, we're not doing much. Except for some of the bands actually having live musicians and stuff like that,
right.
Or actual musicians. We're not doing a lot that somebody can't do on their own, you know? I mean,
yeah,
we might have more bells and whistles in terms of sound effects and things.
No, but nowadays, yeah, the production that's available just on your laptop is incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty stellar.
Yeah, I've been here long enough, and we started with reel-to-reel tape, and if we had something really fancy, we could go to a four-track. Yes. I mean, literally, it's like it was ancient technology. So I've seen it go crazy. So in the old days, you were limited to you had to know somebody who had a recording studio or whatever. But yeah, go make it on your own. Do your stuff. Put it out there. And, you know, it's you can either get famous being a YouTuber or a whatever and find your thing that way. Or it is possible to get discovered where somebody goes, wow, this guy's doing some really great stuff. You know, we ought to see if we want to hire him for our show or whatever. I mean, we're not hiring right now or anything like that, but we always keep our eyes open. And unfortunately, it's kind of a twisted thing where in the old days, I think that this was the way to get famous or whatever. It's like, I've got this thing nobody knows about. I'm going to get on this show and now become famous. And it still happens from time to time, but more often than not, it's like we're on here on our show talking about things that are already out there getting some traction.
Right, right.
So, and yeah, so when people, you know, say it's like, hey, I've got this great song I want you guys to play on there and talk about. It's like, well, we're not likely to talk about it unless it's already got some stuff going on.
And eventually, you know, like you said, somebody could be discovered. That, I mean, some of us will need to be replaced. Dean will die.
Yeah.
And we'll need to replace him.
Like, yeah. Because the animatronic that they put my brain in is only going to be allowed to work so many hours that it has to recharge and
sure,
all that.
Yeah.
And that's where you
Dean could die real soon. Real soon.
Yeah. I mean, and I've seen what happens, and it is. It's not that. I mean, it's a little bit after you die, but it's not that much longer after Josh goes.
You're aware of this
already. Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
And I die before you.
Yeah. And yours is so embarrassing compared to
it's
mine.
Embarrassing?
Yeah, I mean, I was saving a busload of school children.
But it's not. But is it painless?
Painless?
Yeah.
Yeah, for everybody else.
I will experience pain.
Oh, yeah.
In an embarrassing fashion?
Well, all right. Think about this. Think of like the worst pain you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
And think about the longest you could possibly endure that.
Oh, man, not long.
It's way worse than that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and
it
I'm
is.
Embarrassed to boot.
Yep. Well, but you get a ton of YouTube hits.
Oh, people see this? A lot of people?
Love it.
They enjoy it. They enjoy
love
my
it.
Pain
yeah.
and my demise.
Yeah. No, I...
Now you say this happens before your...
The demise was just kind of a bonus thing. It wasn't like...
a bonus?
Yeah, it wasn't like they wanted you to die. It's like you did. It's like, oh, all right, that's cool.
It's like a satisfying ending to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they...
Yeah. You were satisfied in the end, too, though.
What do you mean?
I've said too much.
Something happened. I said too much. This is awful to hear, but all right.
Great for the Bob and Tom YouTube channel, though.
Oh, yeah. Monetize that thing.
Woo. Yes. Now, Josh.
Yes.
Last two questions. First, this first one is for Josh. Lots of ladies, a couple of Heathers, a Cindy, want to know, will you be their Valentine?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to be your Valentine.
Oh, I promised myself I was not going to cry or throw up in my mouth, but
yes.
I did.
Anybody, if you're, why not? There's enough of me to go around, sure.
Well, that is lame.
What do you mean?
So it's just, that's all it entails is, oh, you're my Valentine.
That's all these ladies want to hear, Deanie.
Wow. A quick message to you ladies out there. Higher goals. Bigger goals. Dream bigger. You can do so much better.
That I'm not going to disagree with. But while you're here,
he's
why not enjoy this, you know, what you got?
All right, final question to Dean, but you can answer too, Josh. Which famous person would you want to play Cards Against Humanity with? You'd probably have to have a group. So if you were going to put together a group of four other people to play Cards Against Humanity with, who would you choose?
I always thought it would be, you know, the kids in the hall, maybe. That would be fun. I love all of those gentlemen. But we need to get some girls in there, though.
So when I think of famous, like I think of like who would be really hilarious and stuff. And there's so many, you know, great comedians and all that would be hilarious. But to me, part of the charm and appeal of that game is people that you don't know that well or that you're surprised. So that's what I think I would like to see are just some of these like,
sure.
really straight, serious people that you think. Like would be offended by some of the stuff or whatever, and they're just right there in the thick of it.
So St. Peter, Martin Luther King Jr. is that kind of where you're
so going? We're able to pull people from the dead.
Yeah, let's
and throw
go.
Them
let's
in.
Go dead. Let's
oh.
go all time history.
Well, you would just choose like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would be like, okay, before we start this next one, who was the deal when you, John, when you wrote that one song?
That's why I answered the kids in the hall. It's like it would be more about the conversation in between the game.
Yeah, screw the game. Yeah. So anyway, remember that one time?
When you were crushing his head.
Yeah, but that I love that game, playing it with new people and stuff and kind of getting to know them.
Yeah, it's silly. It's fun, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a happy Valentine's Day to you. Dean, I know...
Thanks for having me.
You
so
like
now,
being touched.
So now this is my show now. We go on for a while then and...
Yes, Dean will be with you for the next 4 hours.
This is awesome.
And,
I hope you like watching people sleep.
And
it's neat.
You're only asking questions about hobby kits this time around, right?
Yes! Finally!